Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves' loss to the Memphis Grizzlies in the rematch from last spring's playoff series. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break it all down. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North is with us to talk through the Wolves' loss to the Grizzlies here on Friday night. And Marty, the losing skids now 6 of 7 overall. In this one, the Timberwolves competed for the most part. It was, a 9-point game at halftime, somewhere around there. And you know, it was, they got to within one multiple times in the third quarter, but ultimately it's just yet another loss.
Yeah. And it was like Memphis was just kind of, I don't want to say toying, because it wasn't like that, but it was arm's length away. Even the 1-point game was just like, didn't really feel like we were there. And I guess a bright spot is that the lead never spiraled out of control. And that's been an issue for the Wolves. They get down by 10, boom, they're down by 20 before you can blink. But it never got to that point tonight. But they also couldn't close the gap. They couldn't ever take the lead. So it was just kind of like this treading water in the second half, where they down by 9 at halftime and ended up losing by 11. So like nothing really happened to close the gap or overtake them or completely lose it. So I take the good from that, take the bad from that. I don't know. Here we are again.
Yeah. And this is now, you know, certainly like for the last five, I think, minus the Rockets victory over the now 2-10 Rockets last Saturday, that we've kind of felt the same way. I mean, overall, like, I mean, I think the Timberwolves played better, as you alluded to. I think that, you know, we talked on following the loss on Wednesday, like, hey, maybe the Friday night matchup, the ESPN spotlight, the playoff rematch, the Ant versus Jaw, Ant versus Memphis fans, like all that stuff, maybe that would motivate the team. And I think it did to an extent. And I think it was, you know, Ant had 21 in the first half, and it felt like the Wolves were not, I wouldn't say that they were right there, but like you said, they never allowed themselves to completely collapse. It was never like they didn't just give in like they have so many other times recently. I think the biggest thing I took away from this game beyond that was there's something different. You can even see it watching on TV, that the Wolves obviously feel different than they did last year. And Memphis is still kind of playing with this joy and, like, I mean, kind of a snapshot, and this is like, ultimately it is meaningless, but like, I think it's like a little microcosm like of what these two teams are right now. Is at the end of the game, the Wolves tried to get that cheap bucket at the final horn, and John Morant decided to play defense and probably unnecessarily dive on the floor and get the loose ball. But he was proving a point that Memphis is going to play hard all the time. And the Wolves aren't getting to the 50-50 balls, you know, the ones that matter in the meat of the game. And there's just kind of these smaller things and this vibe around the team that collectively isn't happening, but Memphis is the exact opposite.
Memphis is the exact opposite. And I feel like Phoenix was the exact opposite too. And there was a report from Dane, who covers the Timberwolves, that Devin Booker had turned to the Wolves bench during that Phoenix game and said, "We play hard. We share the ball. We play team basketball." And I feel like those are the kinds of things that you're talking about, Ben. I don't know what it is. I don't know why there's the disconnect. I don't know what is the confusion is, or the, I mean, I don't want to say dislike, because we as the Timberwolves team broadcast, we are privileged to go to shoot-arounds on game days. Mm-hmm. And so I've been at the home game shoot-arounds, and they are closed to everyone except the team personnel and then the local, just the television and radio broadcasters. So I've seen some of the behind the scenes, not all of the behind the scenes by any means. I have not seen this joyless, fighting, eye-rolling team. I have not seen that. It hasn't been complete and wonderful cohesion and butterflies and stars all over the place, but it certainly is not the complete opposite of that. But something is disconnected on the court right now. And D'Angelo Russell, it didn't help that he had 4 points tonight, and just he's getting some good looks. That shot will not fall. We saw extended minutes, I think 18 minutes from Bryn Forbes. And so now we're seeing Chris Finch start to search a little bit more, start to actually make changes. Before it was like, these are our guys, this is our rotation, we're sticking through this, they got to figure it out, they got to figure out how to play together. And now it's like, okay, we're 13 games in, now I'm going to start limiting minutes, pulling guys when I'm pissed at them defensively, putting someone else in who hasn't played much all season, trying this, trying that. And that's what he's searching for, is guys that are going to go for these 50-50 balls, guys that are going to play with energy and effort, which, to your point, but Carl in foul trouble, and just like, it's always something that there's just not cohesion right now among this group. But I also don't see it as like there's this constant bickering and fighting. It's not to that point, but something ain't connected.
Yeah, you mentioned Finch tweaking the rotations and also D'Angelo Russell, and there was a play. I just saw the clip starting to make the round on Twitter, but I saw it happen live when I forget who the player was for Memphis, but it was a big that D'Angelo Russell was the low man in half court defense.
Oh, yeah.
And whoever it was cut backdoor from the corner and got a lob dunk, and D'Angelo Russell saw it too late and nobody helped him, and immediately Finch threw his hands up in the air on the sideline, motion for Jordan McLaughlin to come into the game. And McLaughlin hadn't played at all in the second half. He had a first half stint, and Noel played the backup point guard minutes in the third quarter. But in that moment, that was like exactly what you were describing, where Chris Finch was like, okay, this is, you know, we've gone too far here. Like, D'Lo, your shot's not falling, but you're also not paying attention on defense, and we're going to go ahead and make a change here. All right, I want to talk about rebounding, which has been a big issue. First, though, let's talk about our title sponsors of today's postgame show, and that is, of course, our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer, esports, and beyond. We've got it all at betonline.net. It's a fantastic time of year to be over there, with college football kind of winding down this weekend or the next couple of weeks. Of course, NFL, and now the meat of the NBA season. If you love sports podcasts, you can find all those at BetOnline. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so rebounding wise, that to me is kind of the next thing to talk about in this game, beyond just kind of this overarching, you know, the struggles the Wolves have been having. The Wolves were a minus 13 on the glass in this game. They were a minus 8 on the offensive glass. Memphis had, maybe a better way to say that is, Memphis had 8 more offensive rebounds than the Wolves.
Yeah,
that led to 31 second chance points for the Grizzlies, and that's been a recurring theme all year for the Wolves. It was all of last season, the defensive rebounding, and in the playoffs against the Grizzlies last year as well. Adding Rudy Gobert, who was the league's best defensive rebounder last year, was supposed to help fix that, and to this point it just hasn't, and it was a huge problem in this game.
Yeah, it was huge. It was the first thing Chris Finch mentioned in his post-game press conference. See, giving up the 15 offensive rebounds is one thing, but you think, if a team gets 15 offensive rebounds, a normal point total out of that is like 20, maybe 22, but 32? Courtside had it as 32. You said 31. So what, either way, like that's an astonishing number off of 15 offensive rebounds, which is already too many. I get it. But to get 32 points off of that is like, geez, almost everyone they grabbed turned into some sort of points. There was one point in the I think it was in the first half, and Memphis shot a three, and we had two guards leaking out to the other end, and you know, a three ball means a long rebound typically. Yep. And it just went right to Memphis, who didn't even have to like hustle and track it down. It might have even taken a bounce. I think it went to John Moran at the top of the key. And I was watching the game with Rebecca Brunson. she said it immediately. Jim Peterson said it about 3 seconds later on the broadcast. Like, what are these two guys doing leaking out on this long three where the ball bounced right back out to the 3-point line? And it was just like this compounding of this issue and this problem of offensive rebounds, second chance points. It's a topic that we're talking about again. And one of the reasons, maybe the biggest reasons, the Timberwolves went out and got Rudy Gobert was to play teams like Memphis. Well, you know what team is like Memphis? Memphis!
Yes. And it, well, and those, and I still have this like habit when I'm watching a game, you see a long rebound after three and you give up an offensive rebound on a long miss leads to a long rebound, like you said. And there's kind of this reaction of, you know, unlucky, you know, that happens. The long rebound can go to anybody, but when it happens as frequently as it is to the Wolves, and then you look at the box score, this is crazy. I was just kind of like, just glancing at the box score, the Wolves had five guys coming off the bench, five reserves played in this game, and four of them did not grab a single rebound. Kyle Anderson had seven. Torian Prince, Jordan McLaughlin, Bryn Forbes, and Jalen Noel had zero. D'Angelo Russell played 27 minutes, of course, started the game, and also had zero rebounds. So I guess this isn't like the cleanest way to say this, but if you want to combine those five guys, they played a collective 84 minutes, and they had a collective zero rebounds. So the Wolves were a minus. It's just incredible. And I think Finch said this after the game too. He was talking about exactly that. Those rebounds in the middle of the floor, you've got to clean up. I mean, if you get, you know, a third of them, you're in much better shape, but it feels like the Wolves are getting none of these kind of no man's land rebounds.
And it feels like everybody is thinking the other guy is going to get them. And sometimes you even see somebody pointing at it like, hey, that's yours. That's your. And it's like, no, somebody go get it. Somebody stop pointing and just go grab it. And for whatever reason, yeah, it's a really frustrating area that just has not been cleaned up. And for at least the first half, the points off turnovers was a strong theme. It ended up evening out. The Wolves even won that area by one. But it's that same kind of thing where it's kind of carelessness or sloppiness or not attention to detail. They fall into that same category. And those are the things that the Wolves, they have to be better at. They're not even making teams a lot of times work a lot for the second chances that they're getting. And it's just not acceptable.
Yeah. I want to start, or I want to close, I should say, on a little bit of a higher note. It's easy to forget. In the first half, Anthony Edwards had 21 points. And I thought what he did differently, it wasn't just him being aggressive. And it would be easy to say, oh, he was just taking the ball to the basket more. And he was a little bit. But I would venture to guess that half of those points either came straight up as him as an off-ball cutter and getting a nice pass from Karl-Anthony Towns, or I think D'Lo had a couple nice ones in there. But either as a cutter making the basket or getting fouled and getting to the line as a result of a cut. But Ant was just so much more active, even off the ball, leading, you know, to these opportunities and generating points really efficiently. I think he only had maybe two threes in the first half. It was really all generated off the ball for the most part. And so he had 21 at halftime. And of course he finished with, I think, 28. And so I thought that was a positive. And I thought Jaden McDaniels played probably the best all around game of any Timberwolves player. He had some really nice defensive possessions against Ja Morant, got beat some too, but I mean, Ja's just that good. So I thought both Ant's first half and McDaniels as a whole were positives for the Wolves of this game.
Yeah. And I thought Jaden's defense on Ja was particularly noticeable. The number of times Ja either turned it over or almost turned it over, seemed to be flustered or frustrated. And it was almost like the Grizzlies had to sort of change on the fly. Like, there can't be too many defensive plans against Ja Morant that go really well, because every team is scheming against him, of course, but not every team has the length of a McDaniels and the ability to guard that position the way he did. So it ended up, I mean, Ja still gets his 28, but Ja and Desmond Bane came in as the highest scoring backcourt duo in the NBA. They averaged 53 a game, and tonight they got 52. So you feel like you limited Ja a little bit, or you made it. I mean, he didn't dominate up and down. It wasn't the Ja show by any means. He was good. He was very good, but I thought Jaden McDaniels, you're right, did a good job flustering him. And I mean, that's still a good team. That's a good Memphis team. And Wolves just kind of hung around, but that is not enough. Hanging around is not going to do it.
Yeah, and that brings us kind of full circle to where we started, was, hey, the Wolves played a little bit better. They played harder on Friday against the Grizzlies, and I'm sure the matchup had something to do with that. But Memphis is a really good team, and they've got that it factor that the Wolves clearly do not have at this point in the season. And it's not going to get easier. They have Cleveland at, I think, 5 p.m. Central tip on Sunday.
Yes.
To continue the road trip. Yeah, so that's what we'll have next here. And of course, we go live after every single Wolves game, about 45 minutes after the final horn. Marnie and I will go live to do the postcast. Make sure you follow and subscribe to Locked On Wolves wherever you listen to podcasts. These live shows will always be on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. So if you're watching the replay, that's where you'll find it. And then after the fact, we'll post it on all the Locked On Wolves feeds. So be sure you're following and subscribed. A big thank you to for listening and or watching the show, and we'll catch you next time.